a couple of announcements. As you know, our classes are in sequence. The first class is on the Catechism, and specifically today we'll be on the Sacrament of Confirmation. And there will then be pages distributed. It's a one-page outline. This side to distribute, and here, one page to each student, and try to keep out of the range of the camera, please. So the first class is on confirmation, following the sequence in the catechism. The second class is on the Acts of the Apostles, and more specifically on martyrdom. There will be some 8 pages of outline on the subject. Then I think we are asking, are we not, for those of you who can afford it to provide some contribution towards the payment of the mimeograph copies, $5 if you can afford it, because it's all, of course, paid for by the Jesuits, but the Jesuits appreciate when somebody else picks up the tab. In any case, then the material for today will be covering, as I said, the Sacrament of Confirmation and Martyrdom, which will be that section in the Acts of the Apostles covering the martyrdom of Saint Stephen. Also, a week from today on the Feast of Saint Joseph, the 19th of March, is our next class here in Ann Arbor. So our next class here will be on the Feast of Saint Joseph, and he will then continue with both the Holy Eucharist, which is the next section in the Catechism, and also on the Acts of the Apostles. And then I have some Latin prayers here to which you are welcome. There is the famous Suscipe, take, O Lord, and receive, that I commend to all of you. There's both a Latin prayer and the English translation, which you can pick up then during the break between classes. Then there are some copies of the compendium of the Large Catechism, which is available, and a benefactor who is selling these catechisms for $10. In any case, I have 4 copies here. I cannot charge more than $10. In any case, you are welcome to the copies that I have here. Finally, I've been asked to write a preface to a book to be published soon by a friend of mine, a convert from Judaism. It's called A Path to Glory for the Jew in Search of Christ by Martin Barak. There's a growing number of books by converts. This one I especially recommend, besides writing a preface for the book, being a very zealous Jew who became a Roman Catholic you want to look at it. And finally, I have some copies here. It is a several page analysis of what I think deserves to be analyzed, namely a correct understanding of brain death. As you know, the medical profession in a country like ours is especially promoting the declaration by the medical profession of a person being medically declared dead, even though on theological terms the soul may still be in the body. And the reason, of course, is that there is such an eagerness to have vital organs saved, but if the vital organ is in a dead body, no specialist in the field tell me that vital organ is almost useless. In any case, it will be useful to read what's here, that someone is examining the undercurrents of the medical profession, which is so eager to declare a person medically dead in order to expedite the removal of vital organs from what is objectively still a living human body. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Father Brown will be hearing confessions, he assured me, all day, this being the season of Lent. He'll be hearing confessions. You may leave class any time you wish to go to confession. What's more important than making peace with God? So don't hesitate. Go to confession any time during the day. Thank you. What you'll do now, by the way, is go over the outline you have on the sacrament of confirmation. Our purpose here is to expand on the two pages in your book on the sacrament of confirmation, which is precious little considering how important the sacrament is. First then, the biblical witness is in the New Testament. We might begin by noting that the use of oil for communicating sacred powers goes back to the beginning of sacred history. In other words, anointing, which we use to describe another sacrament, is part of the sacred history of the world, and not only in Judaism before Christ, and not only in Christianity now. Over the years of teaching the non-Christian religions, I would say most of the non-Christian religions have some form of anointing. In any case, we normally go to two places in the New Testament for the biblical witness for this sacrament, in Luke 24 and in Acts, first chapter, 3 to 4. In Luke, there is reference to the people receiving the Holy Spirit with the implication they had already been baptized. Then, in the Acts of the Apostles, where our Lord foretells the coming of the Holy Spirit just before his ascension, he says, "You will receive power from on high." And there's one word we should always, and that means always identify with the sacrament of confirmation, is the word power. In fact, etymologically, in the science of linguistics, our English word power and our English syllable firm, F-R, R. The F in English was, as we know originally, PH. Say, in the Greek and the Latin. So that power and firmness are etymologically from the same root. Whatever else the sacrament of confirmation does, it gives power. Then we have the story of the Samaritan baptized, yet we are told that Peter and John lay their hands on the just baptized Samaritan. As described again in the Acts, hands placed on the head of the person to communicate power. Now, the placing of one's hands on the head of a person goes back to the earliest days of the Old Testament, especially for transmitting three kinds of power: the power of the priesthood, the power of prophecy, and the power of royalty, of kingship. And the problem, as we know, for those who are not Catholic, who depend exclusively on the Bible, is that the Scripture is not, is a safe statement, is not all that clear, say, in identifying this is the sacrament of confirmation. Yet Scripture does describe baptized people who then had hands laid on them to receive power from the Holy Spirit. And one thing we should know is that even though we hold, as Catholics, that Christ instituted all seven sacraments, nevertheless, we do not find, either in the Scriptures or for that matter in sacred tradition, the explicit, clear identification and description of all the seven sacraments, say, in the first century of the Christian era. There was such a thing as development of doctrine. The sacraments, including confirmation, were instituted by Christ. But it took centuries for the church to become clear, really lucid, on precisely what these sacraments mean. For example, not until the 20th century has the sacrament of confirmation come to be called the sacrament of martyrdom. The sacrament of martyrdom, because we are living in the century of martyrs. And only martyrs will survive in this century. All those willing to live martyrs' lives or die martyrs' deaths will survive. All the others will become casualties. Now the essentials of this sacrament. Essentials, that is, of the ritual or liturgical rite. Imposition of hands is a sign of communicating a possession. Someone who has something by laying on his hands signifies that he is passing on to another that which is intended by the laying on of hands. It also signifies encouragement. It also signifies solidarity. And the one on whom hands are laid is considered as one of the collectivity or the community with a person who lays hands. Then hands are laid on a person as acceptance. Then Christ's laying on of hands, where he both healed and blessed by the laying on of hands. So there are two essentials to the sacrament of confirmation: the imposition, and as I've said so many times, the English word language, not quite but almost useless for teaching the Catholic faith. The moment you hear imposition, you think of coercion or force. It has nothing to do with it. Imposition means the placing, the imponere, the placing of hands on, here, a person's head, anointing with oil. Maybe used, say, is used for massaging, to strengthen. Or is used to nourish the body. Or is used to heal the body. Or is used in the New Old Testament to signify divine election to office. As I mentioned, to the royalty or kingship, to the priesthood, and to the prophetic office. For the last 2.5 weeks, I administered the sacrament of confirmation unexpectedly. I was giving a retreat in Dallas, Texas. And after Mass one morning at the convent of the Carmelite nuns, a lady came up and she said, "My daughter, here is 14, will be 15 next month. That's this month. But she's not been confirmed. I'm homeschooling my children. And we cannot receive confirmation at the parish. As we go through the long program of training for confirmation, which takes months, almost a year, I don't think I should subject my children to that training. So they have not been confirmed. This is my oldest daughter." So I asked her, "What diocese do you belong to?" She said, "Fort Worth." So I said, I'll call you up. I got a telephone number. I called up the bishop, Fort Worth, Texas. There's a lady here, has a girl, 14 years old, who's not been confirmed. And she tells me that your parents require almost a year of training for confirmation. This mother is homeschooling her parents or her children. And she's not comparable with the kind of religious education you're giving in the arts in the Diocese of Fort Worth. I feel happy to be working for the Holy See. I'm sure the Holy See would be very happy to know that the Bishop of Fort Worth, in his kindness, gave a Jesuit priest the faculties to confirm a child who was just begging for confirmation. Well, the bishop was not in, but his chancellor was. In a couple of hours, I got a call back. The bishop said, "By all means, by all means." So, the child was confirmed. Sarah Rose. Sarah Rose. Okay. Now the history. First of all, in the East, only bishops up to the year 300. In the West, again, only bishops to about 600 A.D. Well, by the 4th century in the East, the more common practice is for priests to confirm the children whom they baptize. My mother, belonging to the Byzantine Rite, some must have said more than once, she was baptized, confirmed, and made a first communion at the ripe old age of 3 days. It's the standard practice. However, remember this. If a priest does the confirmation, he must have what they call the faculties from the bishop. In other words, a priest or priest cannot, and the word is cannot, validly confirm unless he has the authorization from the bishop. In the West, the general practice still is that bishops are the normal administrators of the sacrament of confirmation. But then Pope Pius XII in 1947 made a very broad, you might say, concession. In case of illness, say a person has not been confirmed, a bishop is not easily available, a priest thereby is given by the Pope the faculty to confirm. And again, where the bishop is not available for a variety of reasons, priest then can validly confirm. Then Second Vatican, Paul VI, further extended, I repeat, not merely the laicity, the permission, but the validity, the power for priests to confirm, and thus normally the priest who gives instruction to a convert, an adult convert, he is given by the church's law the right to confirm the person whom he receives into the church. Now the definition. I might give you the Latin because it says it all, and the translation in English is just, well, a translation. There are two words in Latin, roboratio spiritualis, roboratio, R-O-B-O-R-A-T-I-O, roboratio, and spiritualis, spiritual, plus N-I-S at the end. So roboratio spiritualis is the standard theological definition of the sacrament of confirmation. What does that mean? The sacrament of spiritual strengthening. In other words, the sacrament of baptism does indeed give us sanctifying grace and the virtues, faith, hope, and charity. But the sacrament of confirmation strengthens, as we'll see, and especially lest we don't stress it later on, especially the virtue of faith. The one virtue which is especially strengthened by confirmation is the virtue of faith. We may then identify the sacrament of confirmation in its effects four different levels. First, it increases sanctifying grace in every way, but mainly in terms of its capacity to survive, and of course to survive under pressure. Gives resilience, the ability to resist dangers, this past Thursday I was in Chicago for the funeral of a dear friend of mine, a lawyer who was indispensable for the founding and the organization of the Institute of Religious Life, a Mr. William Isaacson. And then in the afternoon had a board meeting of that institute. And then Friday afternoon there was a radio 1 hour conference in Chicago with about a half an hour's questions coming in. Every one of the questions was critical of the Catholic Church. Everyone. The station itself was a Protestant station. But even as I was fielding the questions, I thought to myself, any Catholic who wants to cope with a hostile, non-Catholic world, he or she better know, they better know their faith. And this is where confirmation is crucial. Now, I have no reason to doubt that those questions were not just sporadic questions. They were hand-picked. But they were shrewd. And to remain a Catholic, in fact, most of those questions from hostile critics claim to be ex-Catholics. So increasing sanctifying grace. It's in this context I think we should remind ourselves of the language you've been so accustomed to, sanctifying grace. What it means, as I'm sure you understand, is. Sanctifying grace is the principle, PLA, is the principle of our supernatural life. Sanctifying grace is to the soul what the soul is to the body. Without the soul, the body is a cadaver. Without sanctifying grace, the soul is a spiritual cadaver. It's a corpse. And we've got a lot of stinking corpses walking the streets of our country and some in high places in our nation. So what confirmation does, it provides this principle of our supernatural life to stay alive in spite of the massive organized hostility, which, by the way, for me, the massive abortion, the death culture, as I call it, in the world today, is only symbolic of the deeper abortion that is going on. Am I clear? The murder of millions of souls. Am I still clear? And the Lord's trying to wake us up. Wake us up. Souls are being killed, and I mean this is not a figure of speech. Again, number two. What does confirmation do in terms of our actual graces? Remember what the actual graces are. Actual graces, by definition, are those supernatural illuminations for the mind and inspirations for the will, which are transient, meant, therefore, for the actions that God wants us to perform. Then, since these notes were given to my students who are supposed to know some Latin, in titulo, in title, already before the age of reason, as we've said, millions of Christians are being confirmed before the age of reason. All those in the Eastern Christianity, whether Roman Catholic or Orthodox, they're all being confirmed when they're being baptized. A few days or, say, a few weeks old. So, in other words, intitulo, by title, by right. A confirmed person, even years before the age of reason, has received a title to graces that an unconfirmed person has not received. And that is why the sooner a person is baptized, the better. Or mid. Semicolon. And the sooner a person is confirmed, the better. Sooner the better. Now, in actu and in titulo, actually and by title, for those who have reached the age of reason, there is conferred by the sacrament of confirmation internal strengthening and external strengthening. Now, the moment we say strengthening, and I hope I'll be clear, we don't commonly, and more is a pity, we do not commonly speak of strengthening the intellect. But that is the first and most basic faculty that needs strengthening, our minds. We think of having our will strengthened. By all means, Well, let me tell you, the most dangerous person on earth is a person with a strong will and a weak mind. Am I clear? Run. Go as fast as you can. A person is dangerous. So what the sacrament of confirmation first does, which is most important, and that superlative, is meant to be just that, is to strengthen the intellect. And for so many people, they hear a word like strengthen, and they think, well, strengthen. How do you strengthen the mind? What do? You put extra bandages around, or do you sew it real tight, or do you put extra strong glue, or what do you do to strengthen this mind? Get it. There are three basic ways in which the intellect is strengthened. The intellect is strengthened by the mind understanding what it believes. A weak mind is a mind that does not understand what it may claim to know. For example, what I said during the homily, but I made some critical comment about the intelligent quotient, didn't I? The IQ, did I say something critical? Judging people's intelligence by their vocabulary? Now that is real stupidity. You can memorize, well, the definition of 10,000, 50,000 words. So what? You don't even have to be a human being. A clever parrot. So, the mind is first of all strengthened by grasping the meaning of what the person knows. And as we've said before, the memory is indispensable for growing in understanding what we know. Indispensable. Secondly, we grow in our intellect, and hence the sacrament of confirmation strengthens the mind by enabling the mind to see clearly. So clarity, first call it depth. See the meaning of what I believe. Secondly, seeing clearly. The difference between one idea and another. The most confused language in the world is English. Almost any word you wish, and you won't know the difference to distinguish between one meaning and another. For example, Mike, right here. How many natures in Christ?
Two.
How many persons in Christ?
One.
What's the difference between nature and person?
That's one for you.
Well, thanks for the reply, but we should know. In other words, just because we say there are two natures in Christ in one person, we better know what they're talking about. What is the difference between nature and person?
Nature is the is the spiritual part, and the person is the physical part.
Person is?
The nature is the spiritual aspect of the person, and the person is the physical aspect.
No.
Nature is the essence.
I'm sure.
Nature is the essence.
Say it again.
Nature is the essence.
Yeah.
Of a person?
Yeah. A person?
Person is illegal.
You know, I think, I mean...
Person is the spirit.
Thanks.
Existence
is the person. You know, I think, I mean, this is what we're talking about. I really believe, suppose I asked 40 people, I really believe I get 40 different answers. And yet, everywhere... By the way, have we all been confirmed?
Yes.
I won't ask anybody who has not been confirmed. So you've got the grace. But coming to class on Sundays helps. A person is an individual, intelligent nature. Individual, intelligent nature. Nature, as you said, is the essence. Christ has two natures. He is both God, has a divine nature, and man has a human nature. At any rate, so confirmation then enables us. But let me tell you, confirmation gives us the capacity, the power. But we've got to, well, exercise that power. Thanks for being here on a Sunday afternoon. I mean it. This helps me a lot. Strengthens my faith to see people coming. Thanks. And thirdly, yet this is to strengthen means to grow in intelligibility, secondly, to grow in clarity, and thirdly, to go in certitude and be absolutely certain, absolutely sure that something is true. And that's what the sacrament of confirmation does. Provides us with certitude, conviction. Without conviction, we are cowards. Only convinced people are courageous people. Okay. So internal strengthening refers then to internal strengthening first of the mind and then strengthening of the will. And now, how do you strengthen the will? There are three basic functions of the will. The first function of the will is to desire. The second function of the will is to choose. The third function of the will is to love. Desire, choose, and love. Confirmation strengthens the will by enabling us to desire what is good. Enables us to desire what God wants us to desire. And not what our selfish impulses may lead us to desire. Confirmation then strengthens our will in choosing that which we desire according to the will of God. And very importantly, confirmation strengthens our will by enabling us to continue choosing which is love. Continued, sustained choice, that's love. 10 years after marriage. Oh, I've watched them, I've seen them. Rhapsodic when they marry. Six years later, in other words, I could use some water, by the way. Confirmation enables the will to continue choosing and continue.